Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos again. Today's passage is from 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. Once again, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. Just then the servants of David arrived with Joab from a raid, bringing much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David at Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the army that was with him came, it was told Joab, "Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has let him go, and he has gone in peace." Then Joab went to the king and said, "What have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why is it that you have sent him away so that he is gone? You know that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, and to know your going out and your coming in, and to know all that you are doing." When Joab came out from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the cistern of Sirah. But David did not know about it. And when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the midst of the gate to speak with him privately, and there he struck him in the stomach, so that he died, for the blood of Azahel, his brother. Afterward, when David heard of it, he said, "I and my kingdom are forever guiltless before the Lord for the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. May it fall upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house, and may the house of Joab never be without one who has a discharge, or who is leprous, or who holds a spindle, or who falls by the sword, or who lacks bread." So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had put their brother Azahel to death in the battle of Gibeon. So this passage is a direct continuation of yesterday's passage. And a quick refresher, the house of Saul and the house of David are at war with each other for control over Israel. In the midst of all of this, due to a conflict, the commander of Saul's army, Abner, defects and chooses to serve David, and David accepts him. Then we get to verse 22. At this point, we read that the servants of David arrived with Joab, the commander of David's army. Upon arriving, Joab is told that Abner has come to see the king and that the king has let him go in peace. Joab is incredulous and immediately goes to the king and says, "What have you done? You know that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you and to know you're going out and you're coming in and to know all that you are doing." Basically, Joab is so certain that Abner is up to no good. Now, in many ways, Joab has a good point here. Abner has been the commander of Saul's army. So all of Joab's alarms are probably going off. After all, Abner is the last guy you'd expect to defect and be received by King David. So Joab has a good point there. But if you look at it a little bit deeper, actually, we see that it's also personal. Joab was also dealing with the fact that Abner had recently killed his brother in battle. Back in chapter 2, we read about a battle between Saul's army and David's army. The two sides face each other, and at some point, Joab's brother, Azahel, is chasing after Abner. So Azahel is in hot pursuit, and Abner warns him to stop several times. But when Azahel refuses to do so, Abner turns around and kills him on the spot. It's unclear if Joab knows the full story, but regardless, it's safe to assume that he's upset about the death of his brother. And again, I think understandably so. And so Joab confronts David, but after that, he leaves to go find Abner without David's knowledge. Joab then meets Abner by the gate of Hebron, as if to speak to privately to him, and then, boom, he stabs him in the stomach. A lethal blow. And Abner dies, and it says specifically that he died, quote, "for the blood of Azahel, his brother." When David hears about this, he is upset, and he makes it clear that he and his kingdom are faultless here, and instead all guilt will fall upon Joab and his house, and he even proclaims a curse over Joab's family. It's a very intense response here. Now, all around, this passage is a real bummer, but I think there is something that we can learn from this passage, and as I read this passage, I actually see Joab's relationship with David a lot like how our relationship with God can be like sometimes. You see, Joab, though he's a mighty warrior, the commander of the army, so he's in charge of tons of people, in the end, he is a servant to the king, David. But look again at how he approaches David when he first hears about Abner being welcomed. He says, "What have you done? Why is it that you have sent him away? You know that Abner came to deceive you and to know you're going out and you're coming in to know all that you are doing." Joab is upset, which I think, again, is understandable. He is basically his opposition has come in. The man who had killed his brother is being welcomed in. So it's understandable that he's upset. But the way he expresses it, I would say, is not only unwise, but actually very disrespectful. He expresses his emotions by challenging David and, in fact, getting in his face. He's questioning the king directly. After that, then, Joab takes it a step further. He goes out and takes matters into his own hands. Out of his anger, he commits cold-blooded murder. And actually, according to some scholars, Joab's actions are likely very much premeditated. You know, not only just angry, but he's got a premeditated, this plan to kill Abner. Because you see, Hebron was a city of refuge, meaning it was against the law for Joab to kill Abner and avenge his brother inside the city walls. And so we see that Joab actually takes Abner into the midst of the gate, so right outside the city walls, just before murdering him. So it seems actually very possible that Joab knew exactly what he was doing. But in the end, regardless of whether he did or not, whether he knew what he was doing, whether he had planned it out or not, what's undeniable is that he disobeyed a decision from the king. And instead, he rebuked the king directly and then chose to do things his ways rather than the way of the king. Now let's bring it back to us in our relationship with God. As you look at how Joab interacted with David, does any of that sound familiar to you when it comes to your relationship with God? Have you ever challenged and questioned God's decision-making or seeming lack thereof? Have you ever intentionally done things apart from God's will because you felt that your way was better? I wish I could say no to those questions, but I know I can't. And I also know that I'm not alone. You see, you may not have ever yelled at God or done something so blatantly against his will, sort of like what Joab did with David, but the reality is that it's not just about your actions. It's about the state of your heart. So even if you don't say anything, even if you don't go out and commit some horrendous act, if your heart has turned away from the Lord in this way, well, then you've more or less done something similar to what Joab did with David. In the end, the question is, are you submitting to God's will all around, both in terms of your actions and your heart, or are you being rebellious? Are you acting as his servant, or do you consider yourself equals or maybe even greater than God? I know very few of us, or really maybe none of us, would say that explicitly. None of us would go around saying that we are equals with God or something. But again, our hearts, even if just for a moment, our hearts are prone to thinking that way. And so today, I want to invite us to submit ourselves once again to God's lordship. If you've been in a rebellious state, maybe, again, similar to Joab here, some things have been going on and you just can't help but challenge and question God. If you've been trying to take matters into your own hands, maybe because things are not turning out the way that you want for it to, or maybe you feel like nothing is happening, you feel like if you don't do something, then, well, things won't get done. If you've been in this essentially rebellious state, I invite you today to repent and return to him. The fact of the matter is, God's decisions may not always seem to make sense to us. In fact, most of the time, we really have no idea what's actually going on, and certainly have no idea what's going to happen. But let's trust him. Let's remember that he is the king, and we are his servants. And let's commit to living and acting like that. So with that, let me pray for us, and we'll close out this devotional. Lord God, we thank you for this passage, this time this morning. Lord, obviously the relationship between Joab and David is different from our relationship with you. David is not you. He's a human being. He's imperfect. He makes wrong decisions. Whereas you are perfect. You're infinitely wise. And at the same time, this relationship dynamic of servant and king, you know, still applies to us. And Lord, we confess that there are times when we do act like Joab, where we question you, we become defiant, and then we become rebellious, taking matters into our own hands. Lord, we repent of those times. We ask for your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, instead to walk in your ways as your servant, trusting in you. And even when things don't seem to make sense, letting go of those worries or concerns and doubts, and instead looking to you, God. And so, Lord, we look to you today. We trust you today, God. We submit ourselves to you, to your lordship. And Lord, with that, we want to walk in your delight, in your joy. So God, we thank you. We submit even this day to you and all that we've got on our minds, our hearts, all the things that we've got, you know, responsibilities to take care of. We submit all of these things to you and ask that we would follow ultimately where you lead us. And so God, we give this day to you. Pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.